you. And as I get started, I want to say one thing. Brian did an eloquent job of expressing where we are as a staff in moving forward and where we've come. I want to echo his request for patience, because this is not an easy process that we're walking through, nor is it something that you walk in or deal with every day. I do want to say one thing, because I know it took some people back. I don't know what's being said or how it's being said or expressed, but I want you to know, God is not calling me to be the senior pastor at Potter's House. I need you all to know that. I need you all to tell others that. I don't know where that began, but I know as I expressed that to some folks this week, they were kind of taken back and because that's not what they had heard. And so I want to tell you first and right up front that at this point in my life, God is not calling me to be the senior pastor here at Potter's House. But I do know that all the staff is assembled here for a reason. Brian is here for a reason. Curtis is here for a reason. James is here for a reason. Jason Whittle's here for a reason. And Guy Lombardo is here for a reason. And we're going to band together as a staff and a team, and we're going to walk this process. There are changes that need to be made. We are seeking God's wisdom through His Word and godly counsel as we move forward. And so, but from my heart, I just want you to know that that I'm just part of the team, and you'll be seeing several folks come across the stage over the course of the next several months until we finally get to the process where we call a full-time pastor. So, and we will call a full-time pastor, one that we know, that I know, and I hope you join me in praying that He's already preparing that man's heart, and that He has that man already looking. And I know God has that man, and He's preparing his heart, and he will come. And this church's best days are still ahead of it, that we are still kingdom builders. So, anyway, as we begin, let's pray. Let's pray. Father, that song, Heart of Worship, man, I could just feel it. Once again, you used it to minister to us, Lord, that it was written out of a heart for you. And so today, Lord, as we open your word and as we begin to seek you out and your kingdom and your ways, Father, I just pray that we do come back to the heart of worship, each and every one of us, to know what that worship is, what a lifestyle of worship is, Lord. You're the God of grace, the perfecter of our faith. As James preached that last week, Lord, it just kept echoing in my heart. You're the one that brings the faith to us. You give us the faith. You bolster our faith. You are the perfecter of that faith. And so today, Lord, I ask you, be the perfecter of our love. Teach us your ways, O Lord. Teach us your ways. Show us how to love you. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I'm going to begin with a scripture verse that I know many of you have heard here over and over and over again. This church was founded on it. This church believes in it. We rally around it. It's the first part of what's known as the Great Commandments. Most of the time when I preach a message on this part of worship, and I read this, I come out of Matthew 22. So the same words are penned in the Gospel of Matthew. They're actually Jesus' words that Jesus was reiterating, because they're written in the book, in the Torah. The first five books of the Bible are known as the Torah. And in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, and I'm gonna read it a little bit later on here as we close today. But Jesus was quoting it, and here was his words. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. With all. Now, as we look at that, love the Lord your God, I want to give you a definition or a word that means loving God, expressing your love to God. Anytime and in any way that you express your love to God, it's worship. As Brian outlined that Heart of Worship song and what the songwriter, the worship leader that wrote that and penned that, what he was saying was, it's the heart of worship is not a song. It's not a song we sing. In America today, we want to think that worship is all about getting together and making sure we sing loud and we sing praises and those kind of things. And that is worship, but that's a small, small, small part of worship. Because worship is expressing our love to God. And we can do it in so many ways. Here's what Paul penned in the 12th chapter of Romans as far as the heart of worship. Because of God's great mercy to us. It starts there, right? It starts there. Because of God's mercy to us, it's nothing that we have done. It's all what He has done. So because of His great mercy to us, offer yourselves as living sacrifices to God, dedicated to His service, pleasing to Him. This is the true worship that you should offer. It's the all part of what God brought back to Moses and his pen in the Old Testament. When you love with all your heart, soul, and mind. Now, you have to get this. Now, Moses was way, way back. There's the Old Testament. How many of you kind of stay away, or like me, that you stay away from the Old Testament because it's old? Well, let me give you a word that the New Testament, it's old too. Offer. This is your true form of worship. So this morning, I'm going to jump right in here, and I'm going to bring out three things that I believe God's asking of us based on this teaching in Deuteronomy and in the Gospels of love. First, God wants me to love Him thoughtfully. I love the way the kids do that. With all my mind. With all my mind. They point to their brain. It's all up here. You know why? Because worship has to begin with focusing our attention on God. It requires a renewing of our mind. If you're going to worship God with all your mind, it requires a renewing of your mind. And if you're like me, if you're a little bit ADHD, if you're a little bit type A personality, you can get drawn over really quick into lots of different things, and all of a sudden you're finding yourself saying, this is not about Jesus anymore, this is about Guy. Or this is about this situation. Or this is about making more money. Or this is about what I like and enjoy. And I've lost focus. Our model in Psalms 139, it says, you have looked deep into my heart. Do you know God focuses on you? He loves you so much that He focuses on you. You have looked deep into my heart, Lord. You know all about me. You know when I am resting or when I am working. You notice everything I do and everywhere I go. Whoa-oh. Whoa-oh. Nobody's reiterating that. Yeah. You notice everything I do and everywhere I go. Do you see now what Jesus is saying when He's reiterating God's word of love me with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all, because you know what? I'm going to be with you every step of the way. I know what you're doing. Romans, Paul wrote, focusing on yourself is the opposite of focusing on God. Anyone can completely be absorbed in self. Anyone completely absorbed in self ignores God and ends up thinking more about self than God. Rick Warren puts it this way, to take that phrase, humility is not thinking less of yourself. Don't take the word, sometimes the world wants to say, well, you got to think less of yourself. No, it's thinking of yourself less is true humility. You see the little shift there? Remember the first time you fell in love or when you fell in love? Those of you that are married, and did you not make it all about your spouse? Did you not, your mind was wrapped around doing everything you can? Guys, I'm going to tell you, I can't speak from a woman's perspective, from a guy's perspective. I was going to do everything I could. I was thinking of ways, how can I impress this girl? Man, she's pretty. Isn't she the prettiest thing you've ever seen? Man, she's pretty. I was going to do everything I could, thinking all kinds of things. And then you know what happens? She'll be the first to tell you. Over time, we grow comfortable with one another, don't we? We kept thinking about those things of, man, how precious she is and how I want to do the right things and how I want to live for her. We stop thinking about those things and we start believing that love means never having to say you're sorry. It makes for a great line in a movie, those of you that are old enough to know where that came from. But it's not true. Love means you should always say you're sorry. And wrapping your mind around that, here's the point for loving God thoughtfully. Don't become so well-absorbed. This is the Message version of Romans 12:2. Don't become so self-absorbed, so well-adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, read this with me now, fix your attention on God. I'm going to ask you four questions I think I have down here right now to help you with the application of this. First question is, what are you watching on TV, on YouTube, on what are you watching? What are you listening to? You do realize that what your eyes see and what your ears hear affect your mind. I think, wouldn't everybody agree to that here today? So my questions would be, what are you watching? What are you listening to? What are you reading? Because they will all affect your mind and how it's going to be renewed or how you're going to focus on God. And then my last question is, who are you hanging with? My son someday, my youngest son, will have a testimony, and I don't want to get into it today. I can just tell you that he had a change of environment over the course of the last 12 months. He went with me to Catalyst in October, a conference, and renewed his faith, and he knew God told him, you got to change your environment. So he changed his environment. He changed who he hung with. He changed what he read. He changed what he watched. He hadn't changed what he's listening to, but we're working on that one. And I can tell you, his mind's been renewed. He's been made different. And God's using that. So first, God wants you to love him thoughtfully with your mind. Second, God wants you to love him passionately. It says, love him with all your heart and soul. All your heart and soul. Worship is expressing my affection back to God for what he's done for me. 1 John 4:19 puts it this way. We love him because he first loved us. He wants us to love him passionately. To go back to the relationship analogy for those of you who are married, and please forgive me, those of you who are not, I do not mean to exclude you, but I want you to know that the marriage and a relationship is kind of God's mystery. He even says it in his word that this is the mystery and it relates to the gospel. But as a couple, you know, if I never told Chris, in any point in our relationship did I say, I love you, Chris. Do you think she'd feel secure in our relationship? What if I never spent time with her? What if we never did anything together? I just said, I want you to marry me. You know, I look at some couples, some older couples that you can see that have grown old together and have celebrated 30, 40, 50 years. Yes, dear, we're old couple because we're in that range now. It's because they spent time together. It's not that every day of their life was rosy. I can tell you right now, there was many times that Chris probably should have just walked away from me. But we went through the dark times together. And they weren't easy to walk through. And they've left scars. Battle wounds, I want to call them. Victory healings, as we can look at them now. And God has the same thing. He wants you to spend time with him. You're not going to do everything perfect. He doesn't expect you to do everything perfect, but he desires that you would grow closer to him. that you would walk with Him, allow Him to be with you, heart and soul. Love Him so passionately that you're not afraid to go to Him and tell Him, "You made me mad." Or to be able to get down on your hands and knees and cry out, "I need you now more than ever before." In Hosea 6:6, I love this. This is the Living Bible translation. It says, God says, "I don't want your sacrifices. I want your love. I don't want your offerings. I don't want your acts of service, your offerings and your tithes. I don't need them. I created them. I want you to know me." To know me. And in that word, that intimate word, to know me, and I don't want to get, but I mean, it means intimately. The Hebrew word means, I want to know you intimately. Intimately, I want to know you. That's His desire for us. Every day, I try to remember this. It's, again, it's not easy. I'm not saying any of this stuff is going to be easy for any of us, to love God with all your heart and particularly with your soul. But every day we should begin with, "Lord, I love you. Thank you for giving me this day. Help me to know you better today. Let me get to know you better so I can love you more. Teach me how to love you more perfectly today." If we do that each day, I promise you at the end of the day, you can call it a success. This day has been successful because I learned more about you, God. I saw more of you in the world. And I love you more because of it. My kids tease me because I've become, in this course of the last 15 years of full-time ministry, as God's called me to, I guess my emotions have changed, and I still have a long ways to go, but God has me in the spot where I sit in my chair, and my kids laugh because I watch my hummingbirds. And I laugh, and I get so much joy because I know God made this little bitty thing that flaps his wings at the speed of sound to fly, and they buzz around, and they're territorial. I don't know if you know a lot about, you could just tell, they swoop in on each other, and if one's drinking out of one of them, they'll scare them away so that they can get rid of them. And it's just been a joy to understand that God created even that little hummingbird for us. And so I thank him every day that a little hummingbird's there, and I just thank him. Thank you for giving me that again today, God, to see that, to know that you love me. And I'm going to try to give back to you, God. Romans 6:13. I try to live this. Give yourselves completely to God since you have been given a new life. Here's the application questions for that. Here's how I think. I want to ask you, what's holding you back from every morning? And in your quiet time, this may be easy. But what's holding you back from in your work environment? In your family environment, let's start in family first, and then your work environment, from letting everybody know, "I love Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus." Women have an easy time with that. Women can wrap their mind around, and I think maybe it's because of the masculinity involved in who Jesus is. And us guys, we want to kind of put it on a hole a little bit. I'll tell you, let go. Love God with all your mind, with all your heart, with all your soul, and tell Jesus, "I love you." Start at home, in bed, by yourself. Get before you get out, "I love you, Jesus." That might be where most of us are. That's where I had to start. "I love you, Jesus. I love you. Thank you for loving me. I love you, Jesus." And you keep telling them that you love them. And I want to tell you, just like a marriage, just like a relationship that you have, to get to know him better, to get to love him more, you have to spend time with him. He's given us a way to spend time with him. This is a physical thing. You can buy, you can put on your phone, iPad, on your computer. I mean, there's lots of places that you can do it. He's given us this to spend time with him. From Genesis to the maps, this is his story to us. And we can spend time with him, and he'll grow us, okay? You can talk to him. This one's a little bit more abstract. These are words. You can hear them and read them, and you can say, okay, I hear how you're speaking to me, God. It's a little less. To hear that still, small voice of God, you have to be in tune to him. It goes back to the focusing of your mind. Are you expecting him to talk? And are you pausing long enough? You know what I found out early in my life, in my walk, as I was trying to press into God? It's like, okay, God, take care of my wife. Bless her, would you? Change her a whole bunch so that she'll love me the way I need her to love me. That was a bad prayer. Found that out. Watch over my kids. Take care of my kids. Heal this person. Do this. God, you know, bless my work as I'm working. I need to make money, Lord. I'll give you back 10%. I'll eat maybe 11 or 12 if it's really good. And I was never pausing to say, Holy Spirit, speak. God, your child, as your child, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to listen. Lord, speak. Because he will speak. If you wait patiently on him, he will speak. If you seek him earnestly enough, he will speak. You guys just say, Lombardo's crazy. He's listening to God. He's hearing voices. Nah, I don't hear voices. It's my own voice I'm hearing. But in that honoring of him and give him that time, he renews my mind to the point where I do hear from him. I receive his direction and his guidance and his assurance of his love for me. And it helps me to get through each day. Spend quality time with him. And by quality time, I mean just pause in his presence. Watch a hummingbird in your backyard. Watch the leaves of the trees. And know that he created that for you for that moment. He's speaking to you in that. And allow him to speak into you, and you will grow to love him passionately as he's asking you. So we know the thoughtfulness, the mind, the soul, and the heart that he wants us to love him with. And then lastly today, my third point is God wants you to love him practically. Practically, with all your strength. See, worship, a true daily worship, is using your gifts and abilities for him each day. You see, going back to the marriage analogy, in marriage there's this passionate love, and there's these special expressions of love that we do by saying, I love you, and those kind of things. But then there's the practical aspects of love, like putting the toilet seat down. Come on, that was funny. You know what I mean. There's those practical expressions of love. When you know your honey's favorite candy is chocolate-covered raisins, you bring home a box of chocolate-covered raisins. When you know they love a sweet tea from McDonald's, you go to McDonald's and get the sweet tea and bring it to them at work and say, here, I hope you're having a great day. You do it with your strength. By going out and using those things to express love. God's the same way. He wants us to use those things, use our gifts and talents for him. And they show up maybe in different ways. Some people call them random acts of kindness. Some people call them using your gifts for God or your talents for God. Some people call them intuition. Just you feel inspired to do something that's nice or that's God-honoring. Maybe paying for the guy behind you in line at the drive-thru. Say, I want to pay for this guy. Whatever he bought back there, I want to pay for it today. Let me pay for it. And when he comes by, just say, God loves you. If you ask who did that, just say, God loves you. That's it. You see, he wants us to use our abilities for him. Paul pens it this way in Colossians chapter 3. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as though you were working for the Lord and not for people. My dad had this saying, and I had an Italian boss. My dad's Italian, full-blooded, and I worked for a full-blooded Italian stonemason, brick mason, when we first moved here to the Lake of the Ozarks, and loved both of these guys. But they both, maybe it's an Italian saying, I don't know, but I heard my dad say it, and my boss Nunzio would say the same thing. You know, as we're working on it, he'd say, this ain't no church that's good enough. This ain't no church. have the mindset that if you're working on a church, you better do it absolutely perfect. But we're not working on a church, so if you get within an eighth of an inch, it's good. We're calling it good and moving on. Okay? Again, that's one of those myths. I knew what my dad and my boss were saying. In God's economy, you do everything as if you were doing it for Him. Every job you do as if you were building a church. That you were doing it brick by brick and not a stone, not a piece of mortar, not a nail. There ain't no such thing as a coat hanger. You carpenters know what coat hangers are, don't you? I had lots of them as I tried to drive a nail. If you don't get anything else today, I want you to hear this. I want you to hear this. In life, it's not what you do that matters. It's who you do it for. My saying, I stole this from a pastor. God doesn't care if you're a butcher, a baker, or a candlestick maker. If you're doing it for Him, He is pleased. And if you're doing it with all your ability, He is even loving that even more. A lot of folks want to get hung up on this. Well, I want to know God's will for my life. I want to do God's will for your life. Here's what I would tell you. What do you like to do? And you probably like to do it because you're probably good at it. That's the thing you need to get into. I've told every one of my kids the same thing. And it's come at a right time for all of them. Okay? I don't know that I didn't have this advice when I was young, but I've given it to my kids. Find out what you like to do, guys. Because if you're going to do it the rest of your life, you want to be able to wake up every morning and be able to say, I can't wait to get to work. Man, this is going to be so much fun. And God's going to use me, and I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. And this is fun, and I love it. That's where He wants us. That you love doing it because you know you're doing it, and you're doing it for Him. He's gifted you. He's put this passion in you, this joy you receive from doing that. Man, find that. Now, those of us, I'm 55 years old now. You know, it's kind of, I believe I'm doing now. I'm finally getting to the point in the last 15 years using my gifts and talents for God in a way that struck, you know, it's structure and system building in churches and seeing churches come alive. Doing new things and creativity in the church. I love that. I get jazzed by it. No matter what your age is, I believe God, if you pursue that, He'll honor that in your life. Don't think, man, I'm too old. I'm too old to get started here. My wife just retired. I don't know if you knew that. 26 years she put in as kindergarten teacher at Campton R3 School. I'm going to tell you, I'm so proud of her. She went from kindergarten through high school at Campton. 4 years, she graduated in less than 4 years, 3.5 years at Drew University, got her degree, came right back here, did her student teaching here for a half a year, and then got hired that next year at Campton and taught all 26 years in Campton School District. She is a lifelong Laker. Yeah. You can cut her open and she bleeds purple. Truly. But she loves her job. And she believes she's doing it for God. And so when another teacher comes and is struggling, she's not afraid to say, oh, can I pray with you? I know God's got me here and I'm teaching and I'm loving it and this is this environment. Can I pray with you? When a little boy has a rough day, she doesn't have trouble putting her hand on his shoulder and saying a little prayer over him. Because she's doing this. She knows she's called to this. She loves what she's doing, and she's doing it with all her heart, with all her soul, with all her mind, and now with all her strength as she lives that out. Romans 12, again, the Message version. Love it. Take your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Who are you working for? The application question. Who are you working for? Who are you playing for? Who are you living for? Because if you change that paradigm shift in your life and you start looking at everything as I'm doing it for Him and His glory, you have accomplished a part of the loving God. The greatest commandment Jesus gave us, the greatest commandment God gave us, Jesus reiterated, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Brian, would you come up here? I'm done. I want to read to you Deuteronomy 6 as Brian's coming up here. Deuteronomy says, it's the Old Testament version of the New Testament teaching that we just went through. And this is the NIV version. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands. Bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. This is His word for living the greatest commandment of love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is your time to play something pretty. James, I thought James had you conditioned for that. There we go. This morning I want to offer you that opportunity. Maybe today you sit here and you say, I've been coming here. I've been going through the motions. But I can't say that I truly loved God with all. Today, Jesus says, come. He'll accept you right where you are. You don't have to come forward this morning and kneel down and make a profession of faith to accept Christ as your Savior. You can do it right where you're seated. It's as simple as saying, my life's been my life. I've held on to it too long. Today, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm giving it to you. Take me. Use me. Here's the scary part. Use me up. I want to serve you from now forward. Just ask Him. You will receive Him today. Maybe you have made that decision already. Maybe you have already been that Christ follower, but you're in your seventh year of marriage, you know? It's kind of like there's some things that you forgot about. And it's time for you to come back to worship. Come back to what it's really all about. And to start using my thoughts and my passion and my practical life skills for His glory to the best of my ability. He says, come butcher, come baker, come candlestick maker. Today is the first day, the next day of the rest of your life. And if you're one of those that is living it out day by day, and it's tough and it's a struggle and you're wore out, and you're just saying, man, this is tough, I want to tell you, He's there. He said, my burden is light, but if you're weary, come unto me, all you who are weary, and I'll give you the strength. Don't try to do it on your own. This message, don't think that this message is telling you to do it on your own. This message about allowing Him to work through you. Just give your life back to Him. Let go of that weariness, that burden, son. burdensomeness. Would you pray with me? Bow your head. Would you pray? Father God, I know there's folks in here today that have committed. They've said, you know. I don't love God like I'm supposed to. I'm missing this, God, but today I want to give it to you. Lord, I pray that you just honor them. Fill them with your Holy Spirit today, Lord. Let them feel that strange warming in their heart that you're there, that you're with them, and that you're going to honor their requests as long as they keep seeking you, Lord, and pursuing you, that you'll be there and well up in them because you are the author and perfecter of our faith. As those that are walking the walk have made that decision, and as they've decided today to more mindfully, thoughtfully, more passionately with their heart and soul, more practically with all their strength, decided to give it to you, Father, I pray that same Holy Spirit gives them the power and the courage to take it out on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and live it out in a world that desperately needs to see what a fully devoted follower of Christ looks like and smells like and tastes like and acts like. Give them that power, Father, today. And for those that are weary and heavy laden, beaten up. Man, we've gone through some tough circumstances here in the last 2 weeks, Lord. We can be beaten up and bruised and hurt. But we know your command is to love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, Lord. And as difficult as it is right now, and as hard it is to see you through all this smoke and dust and clouds and mud and muck, Father, I pray that you clear it for them today. That you honor that. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Give them rest today, Father, on this Sabbath day, to know that you reign and reign supreme in us and in them. Lord, thank you. Thank you. As we come back to the heart of the worship, it is all about you. May everything we do bring glory and honor to you. In Jesus' name. And the saints said, amen.